You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Okay, all right. I don't know what's so funny, but welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's a beautiful day in Chicago. For a moment there, I thought it was going to rain and be cloudy all day, but however, the sun has come out, folks, and it is beautiful here. It's great. Listen to the show and don't listen to no other show, because I'm always going to have you letting you know about great weather in the city of Chicago. And I hope it's fine where you are, even though I know some people in Texas, and I know of some people in Texas, Kansas, they are in disarray. Oklahoma, up and around that area there, those states there, they're mountains and mountains of flooding, especially in Texas, up and around Houston. And we can just keep those people in our prayers. I mean, twisters, hurricanes, all up in November, up in Oklahoma, you know, so, and Kansas, all of those beautiful and wonderful states. So we have to try to keep those people in our thoughts and pray for them, and hopefully things will get better, right? But right now here in Chicago, it is beautiful. It is gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. I was just running some errands. I had to breakneck to get back to the show, to get the show started, because I was, you know, sometimes you can be so busy right up to the last minute, and then you have to jump on whatever you got to jump on, and let it be. Literally, I've been totally busy. I mean, jumping up and going here, there, doing this, that, you know, and suddenly I have to say, wow, I got to do a show. And I'm frantic, you know, I'm getting everything together and everything, you know. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. And my guest today is author Beth Edvard. I like that name, Beth Edvard. And she will be talking about her book, Dead on the Dock. I like that name, Dead on the Dock. Obviously, it's fiction, but we'll talk about it with her as soon as she, hopefully, if possible, she makes the show and does the show. All right, we are going to be moving right along. Folks, I want to say, it's sad, but if you've been listening to the show, you know that I've been cursing out and yelling and belittling our state legislature. I mean, these guys have gone. I don't know where they're gone, but they're not doing their job. They're gone. They're off for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is. And the state is, for the second time, we have no budget. For the second time, we have no budget. And as always, they're blaming each other. They're blaming each other, but, you know, I'm blaming them both. I don't think nobody should have went anywhere until the state's problems were solved. And it's not. It's not. And I can put the blame on Rauner, but he's not the only one. We got some assholes legislatures in the legislature also who are buffoons. I don't know what it is. And I yell, scream. I get, you know, my blood pressure gets high. I I'd be yelling and screaming at these guys. And still, things just get worse. It gets worse. We have no budget in the state of Illinois. I'm going to say it's been a year. Okay, some people want to say it's almost a year. But without these guys signing a budget and letting this deadline pass and letting the deadline just pass and go by without nothing, only thing we hear is finger pointing. Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, gave a speech yesterday on everything and calling and pointing fingers. Obviously, nobody listened to the speech. I think it was in Springfield on the steps of the Capitol, and actually nobody listened to it. There was nothing there because he had less. I mean, the guy's weakened. I mean, he's some of his battles that he's tried to fight or wants to fight, he has lost big time. But he doesn't want to admit it. He's going to spin it in a way as it's not that bad. It's not that bad. But anyway, we still do not have a budget, and social service agencies are closing their doors. They're laying off people, as this hasn't happened in the past. It's just more of them are doing it, and every social agency there is that's funding whatever program out there to be funded to help those in need, they have collapsed, totally collapsed, because our legislature in Springfield, for some reason, they can't see eye to eye to pay the bills. And sometimes I can understand Michael Madigan and John Cullerton. They want to protect the middle class. I do not understand Bruce Rauner because he wants to disrupt the middle class. And this is where the fight is. Rauner clearly doesn't care about people. I mean, what he wants is to satisfy those with as much money as he has. And it's just a sorrowful thing, folks, in the state of Illinois. And I don't want to be the first one to say that the state is going to crumble. It seems because we got assholes for leaders, idiots for leaders, dummies, stupid ass people for leaders. These people are supposed to be protecting the state, you know, not crushing it. They're supposed to be, they are supposed to be revitalizing the state, not stepping on it and squishing it into the ground, which is what is happening. And it's just sad that we have bonehead leaders like we do. It's horrible. I mean, I've talked about the crime, the city crime in the state of Illinois, especially in the city of Chicago. I've talked about the crime. These guys do nothing about the crime. They have no plans. They're failures. The mayor is a failure. The governor is a failure. The legislature is a failure. And on all of this is failing the people of Illinois because these assholes are failures themselves. Now, we have no budget. And we will not have a budget. I'm hearing after November. Hell, after November, there won't even be a state of Illinois. There won't even be a state of Illinois. And they're both blaming each other. Rauner takes the blunt of the blame. There is no doubt about it. If he wanted to have a budget, he could have it in 5 minutes. But he doesn't want to have a budget. He brings up all kind of goddamn excuses not to have a budget. Well, the spending bill that they've given us, it's out of balance. Well, if it's out of balance, $7 million, can you take $7 million of your own money and just balance it out for us? Can't do that. Can't do that because I want to see people suffer. That is not going to happen. All of these social programs are upending, and these people are off on vacation. Can you believe that? Social networking sites are filled with some of these assholes going on vacation. The newspapers. But the thing is that social services are upending. I don't have to give you a name. They're all are going to crumble because of these assholes and our leaders, lawmakers, if you want to call them that. They're on vacation. They're not working. This is horrible. They've got their paycheck. They got their lives. They have their homes. They have their cars. They have their families. While they upend other families, mental health agencies have closed. Autism for children, daycare centers, you name it. Charities, you name it. Churches, universities, colleges, everything that needs state funding to survive is impacted. Anything that needs money. And this is not agencies asking for money. Believe me, this is not agencies saying we need this, we need that. This is agencies, schools, public schools, colleges and universities, they are owed this money. They're owed this money. The state hasn't paid its bills. The state doesn't want to pay its bills. Instead, the state is getting deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. Let's say if we do get a balanced budget, the state is so goddamn deep in debt that they're talking about raising more taxes to try to get the state out of debt. The other day, the legislature overrode Rauner on police, I believe it's police and fire pensions, something to that effect. Anyway, the mere fact that they overrode him is a victory in that, because three Republicans came over to the Democratic side and voted against Bruce Rauner. And now he is totally pissed. Other Republicans who are with Rauner, they are totally, totally pissed. And I'm assuming that these three guys, these three Republicans who voted with the Democrats against Bruce Rauner, they are getting an earful from Bruce Rauner, because Bruce Rauner is mean. This guy is a meanie. He's mean, boy. If you ever seen him, I mean, he looks like the, Hades Incorporated or something. I mean, he looks like, I mean, this guy is mean. And he's going around acting like he cares and acting if he's actually acting like he's the victim in all of this, that they will not let him do his job. His job is to bust unions up in the middle class people, destroy workmen compensation, break the city all up into pieces and privatize it, break the state all up into pieces and privatize it, and to get money for his rich friends. And there's a lot more to that. I just kind of glossed over it, okay? Wow. So I know there's other problems going on around the world, but Chicago is a mess. We've got totally high crime figures. Crime is up 55%. Murder is up 65%. Young 16-year-old girl, I believe, shot this morning. Over the Memorial Day weekend, we had about 69 people shot, 6 or 7 people fatally. And I just got through listening to the superintendent, and he's talking about more foot patrols, more cops on bikes, and all of this kind of thing. That's been happening. It's still not working, Superintendent. You need more than cops walking the street. One or two cops walking the street in the community. Five or six cops clustered all up riding bikes down the street. You need to split them up. They shouldn't be all clustered up together as if they're on a bicycle course or something. You really got to get, I mean, this superintendent, the mayor, the politicians, they have to get serious about this. This stuff is national. This is worldwide. And the national leaders are not looking at the police department. They're not looking at the parents. They're not blaming the parent. National leaders here and around the world are looking at Illinois politicians. They're saying, why can't these people get a grip on the carnage in the city of Chicago? They're saying, why can't these lawmakers, these leaders, stop all this violence on innocent people, innocent children? Why can't Mayor Rahm Emanuel, Bruce Rauner, John Madigan, John Culloden, Michael Madigan, why can't these four or five leaders of Illinois do something, say something, act upon ridding those crime-ridden communities of these dirtbag gang-banging thugs? Because Mayor Emanuel and the superintendent, they're saying that they need more help from parents. I understand it. There are some awful parents. There's no doubt about that. However, police also have a part to play. They get paid. They're picking up their paychecks while people are constantly, the people they're supposed to be protecting and the crime that they're supposed to be deterring continues. And I've said so many times in here in my studio, and I've given so many people so many ways to solve crime, to get rid of it, you know. And I'm going to say it again. The way to solve crime in the city of Chicago in some of these high crime communities and neighborhoods is to saturate each one of these communities with either police officers, the National Guard, or the U.S. Army. Mary Wan, they don't want to hear about that. That will do it. That'll do it. And stay in these communities. Do not leave them. Stay there. Have police officers posted there. That will be their post. Is that totally community? You don't leave that community. You stay there. Because the gangbangers and the thugs and the murderers, they live there. A lot of them do not live there. A lot of them come from other places and decide that they want to take over a certain community. But still in all, you can't be on foot patrol. You cannot be on bike patrol, because if you're on foot patrol, that means you're walking through the community. You're on bike patrol, that means you're riding your bike through the community. Police, four or five police officers all clustered up together, riding their bike down the street. You are being watched because you are mobile, okay? You're mobile. You police officers, you're mobile. And when you're mobile like that, you're walking through the neighborhood, you're foot patrol, you're riding your bikes in clusters, the gangbangers, the thugs, the murderers, they're watching you. They see you as you come. They see you when you go. And that's not good. The minute you go, that's when they are going to shoot somebody. The minute they see you, they're going to duck and hide until you pass them on by, on foot, on your bikes. You have to be stationary. You have to have a post. Build a security hut or something. Stationary there. You know, because if you're not stationary, if you're moving around, the bad guys are going to know it. And one other thing, the police officers, and I've known this for a hell of a long time, that in some of these communities, these high crime communities where crime is constantly being perpetrated, the police officers, they know the gangbangers. They know who the gangbangers are. They know where the gangbangers are. Okay, last month I'm hearing that Chicago police had a great big gang bust. That's great. But obviously, they didn't get them all. Okay? Some of these guys are still there. I mean, you take out 140 members of a gang, another gang is going to step up and take that gang's place. And I do agree that parenting is a part of it. But a lot of the parents, they're crazy themselves. They don't know what. Some of them are mentally ill. Some of them are psychotic. Some of them, I'm talking about parents in some of these high crime neighborhoods. Some of them are just bad parents. Some of them are in jail. Some of them are criminals themselves. Some are teaching your own children to be criminals. Or the kids are in a household where it's not inducive for them to grow up to be a law-abiding citizen because the father is in a gang. The father is in a gang. And sometimes when the father is in the gang goes after the father's young child to retaliate for this or that. So we have a problem in Chicago. We have two things I'm going to say. We have a problem with gangs. We have a problem with violence. All of this is wrapped up in one. Gang, violence, and the police not being able to solve or do anything about this. Secondly, we do not have a state budget in the state of Illinois, if I can get it out. We do not have a state budget in the state of Illinois. People are losing their jobs. Drug addicts, the mentally ill, autism, children are being tossed out in the street because these programs that were once funded are not being funded anymore. It boils down to this, folks. In the state of Illinois, the bills are not being paid. Simply as that, the bills are not being paid by the state of Illinois. If you and I did not pay our bills, I mean, they'd be sending us to the collection agency. We'd be fired or something, you know, having to go to court or sued or something over the amount that we owe. And that's what's happening to the state of Illinois. Every agency, every social agency that the state is not paying, the state is not paying what it's owed. Just about every one of those agencies are suing the state. They're suing Governor Rauner. They're not suing Mike Madigan. They're not suing Cullerton. They should. But basically it's Bruce Rauner because he's the one who's stopping and wants to stop the paychecks. This is a mess for the state of Illinois. This is a beautiful state. This is a beautiful city. But we just got some asshole politicians who are in it for themselves and not for the people of the state. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on Block Talk Radio, and I'm talking about this mess in Chicago. Oh, let's get it on a lighter note. Oh, wow. It is still beautiful out here, folks. It is great. I've hoped a lot of you had a great, great and wonderful Memorial Day. It was beautiful. It was one of the best Memorial Days I think that I've ever had in a long time. I actually, it's the best for me, I think. So I've had a great time. So you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. You missed the show here. You will miss a lot. Only listen to me. This is a great show. If you can't listen now, podcast the show for later. It is always on. There's always plenty of podcasts on my show that you can always listen to anytime you want to, whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, wow, this is go to Blog Talk Radio, put my name in there and just listen to a show, you know. And don't worry, don't bother about listening to any of those other guys. All right, I'm the one you should be listening to. All right. Okay, we will be right back. Stay with me, folks.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're waiting for Beth Everett, author of Dead on the Dock. I like that title, Dead on the Dock. All righty, here we go.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders joining me now. Senator, good to see you. First, congratulations on West Virginia.
Thank you very much.
But at the same time, you come out of there, at least now, by our count, with a 17-17 delegate divide. So you win big, but you still don't catch up. You don't close that gap.
Well,
what's the path?
You know, Andrea, it is interesting, and you raise a good point. Hillary Clinton got, I think, 35-36% of the vote, popular vote, yesterday, and yet she gets 6 out of 7 of the superdelegates. And that's what we've been seeing all over this country. In many cases, we win landslide victories, 65, 70, 80% of the vote, and she gets the superdelegates. I think the people of many of those states are going to be saying to those superdelegates, hey, you know what? Why don't you reflect the views of the people in the state who voted for Bernie Sanders? And that's one of the areas that we're going to be focusing on in the coming weeks.
Well, certainly that sounds like one of the areas you're going to be focusing on in terms of trying to get reform, commitments from her team at the convention or before, that the process is going to change.
Well, no, what we're going to be focusing on in the next month is winning the Democratic nomination. Right now, Andrea, we have about 45.5% of the pledged delegates. That is the real delegates who were voted on by the people. There are 8 primaries and caucuses remaining. We think many of the states in front of us are sympathetic to a progressive message of standing up for the working class and the middle class against Wall Street and the billionaire class. We think we're going to do very, very well. And if we do extremely well, and I know it's a steep climb, but we have been fighting an uphill battle from day one. But if we do very, very well, we still have the possibility of coming in with a majority of pledged delegates.
Who is in charge and how are you working this attempt to get the superdelegates, to recruit them, to switch them over? Are you making calls yourself, for instance? Do you have an operation? Tell us what's going on.
Well, we are going to have a very strong operation, and the point that we're going to make to the superdelegates is a very simple one. Over 400 superdelegates came on board Secretary Clinton's campaign before anybody else was in the race. before anybody else was running. That's pretty crazy. And that talks about the weakness of this whole superdelegate system. Number two, the point that we're going to make loud and clear is that in virtually every national poll that's been out there in the last month or 6 weeks, and in almost every state poll, Bernie Sanders runs stronger against Donald Trump than does Hillary Clinton. And I think what every delegate to the Democratic National Convention wants, most importantly, is to defeat Donald Trump. The case we'll make is that I am the stronger candidate. And it's not only polling. Polling goes up and down. It is the fact that our campaign is the campaign bringing in working class people, bringing in young people, people who are sick and tired of establishment politics, establishment economics, establishment media.
Well,
people in this country are hurting. They want real change. We are the campaign of that change.
Well, Senator Sanders, flying in the face of that is the exit poll data from West Virginia, which shows that 34% of the Sanders voters said that they would vote for Donald Trump in a Trump-Sanders matchup.
Well, that is what some of those people are saying today. The general election, as you know, is in November. I think in a race with Donald Trump, Andrea, not only do I think we would win that race, I think we would win it overwhelmingly, because I think the people of America, the more they see Mr. Trump, understand that he's a total phony, that what he said yesterday is not what he's going to say tomorrow, that he is a pathological liar, and that he gets a lot of media attention for attacking people, but that is going to wear thin. The American people understand there's something wrong when they are working longer hours for lower wages, and almost all new income and wealth goes to the 1%. They understand there's something wrong when we are the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all of our people or paid family and medical leave. Bottom line is, the American people are not going to go to an establishment billionaire who changes his mind every day. They want, I think, a president who has a life history of fighting for working people and prepared to take on big money interests.
But isn't the bottom line about you versus Hillary Clinton and who would be the stronger candidate that she is now fighting a war on two fronts? She's getting beaten up by Donald Trump on a daily basis. Aside from him calling you crazy Bernie in his tweet, he has been embracing you. He is building you up. He likes the fact that you're taking her down. So she's fighting Donald Trump. She's fighting Bernie Sanders.
One second. Andrea, no, I don't accept, Andrea, okay. I don't accept that proposition. Last I heard, Hillary Clinton is running for president of the United States. I am running for president of the United States. Trump is running for president of the United States. And what a candidate does is make his or her best case to the American people. I have gotten attacked and attacked and attacked. My record has been misinterpreted and lied about. The issue of this campaign is to go out to the American people and talk about why the American people are struggling. Hillary Clinton has got to make that case. Trump has got to make that case. Sanders has got to make that case. And that's what we intend to do. And I know,
I'm just saying that Hillary Clinton's, the opposition to her, the negatives against her have been built up by Donald Trump just hammering away at her. And up until now, at least, he has not been going after you as much.
Hey,
she's fighting two big candidates and you're fighting one.
Oh, really? Andrea, in every state that we have won, in 19 states, we have had to take on the entire Democratic establishment. We've had to take on senators and governors and mayors and members of Congress. That's what we have taken on. So please do not moan to me about Hillary Clinton's problems. I'm in this race to win. We're taking on the Democratic establishment. We are standing up for working people. And we have a shot. It is a steep hill to climb, but we're going to fight for every last vote that we can get, every delegate that we can get, and that's what I intend to do in the next month, 5 weeks.
Well, I don't think I was moaning about Hillary Clinton's problems, but just to point out, let me play a little bit of Donald Trump on Morning Joe and ask you to react.
Well, Bernie Sanders has a message that's interesting. I'm going to be taking a lot of the things that Bernie said and using them. He said some things about her that are actually surprising, you know, that essentially she has no right to even be running and that she's got bad judgment. When he said bad judgment, I said soundbite.
So if you do lose, Are you giving him the weapons against her?
Well, if Donald Trump wants to take my ideas and fight for a single-payer national health care program, wants to fight to make sure that the wealthiest people in this country, like Donald Trump, start paying their fair share of taxes, wants to make sure that we have paid family and medical leave, raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, rebuild our crumbling infrastructure. If that's what Donald Trump is supporting, I think that's a good thing, and I hope Hillary Clinton does that as well. But frankly, of course, that is not what Trump will be saying. Point is, when you run for president of the United States, you got to make your case to the American people. And in fact, as you well know, there are many areas that I could have attacked Hillary Clinton on that I have chosen not to attack her on. What I have done is run an issue-oriented campaign. That is what the American people want. And by the way, when you have a real debate about real issues, when you get more and more people involved in the political process, it results in a higher voter turnout. Democrats will win in November, whether it's Clinton or myself as the candidate, when there is a high voter turnout. Republicans win when there is a low voter turnout. I think a vigorous debate, an honest debate about the real issues facing the American people will result in a higher voter turnout, which is good for Democrats.
Speaking of real issues, Donald Trump went after Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton repeatedly over the weekend, dredging up all sorts of personal attacks. I wanted to play a little bit of that for you and ask your reaction.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hope you enjoyed that clip. It's an old clip, but I think it's still relevant. Anyway, we're back here in Chicago on Block Talk Radio. It is a beautiful day, beautiful people all over the place. It is great. It is great. It is wonderful. But we got some news. All right, Chicago news, Sun-Times Wire, a man critically wounded in South Shore shooting. I mean, there are so many shootings in the city of Chicago, you almost grow immune to it, you know, but you don't really want to grow immune to it because you want the shootings to affect you. But there are so many, so often, so quickly, it's almost like you're immune to it. You said, well, okay, another shooting. Okay, let's go on. Let's go to Navy Pier, you know, and you don't want to do that. And that's why I called this show Making the World a Better Place One Show at a Time. And that's what we're here for. And that's what we're going to continue to be here for. You know, that's what we're going to try to help the world to be a better place. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's through motivation, through writing, through being a publisher or author, or just someone out here helping children, helping teens to stay off the streets, helping teens to try to go in the right direction and stay away from the bad guys. You know, so it's all about making the world a better place. And I'm going to need you to help me to do that. You know, help me to do that. Because like I said before, many times on this show, whether you podcast it or you're listening live, this show is not about just talk. It's a talk show. I'm a talk show host. But it's not just about talk. It's about that verb. What is it? Action. Putting some action behind, you know, what you say. Doing something. And there are so many great people out here who are doing things. And, you know, even though there's a lot of kids who, there's within a month, there's a lot of kids who are shy. But there's so many kids who are being saved. You never hear about those kids as much as you hear about kids being shot. But there are so many kids who are being saved by community leaders, by people who care, caring and loving parents. Yeah, we have some knucklehead parents, but we also have some caring and loving parents in some of these crime-ridden communities. Not all the parents are awful, but too many are. But still in all, you have to thank a lot of the people who are putting action behind their words. They're doing something about it. They're doing something about the crime in the community. They're not just up and packing up and leaving. They're staying put. and going to take back their community from the thugs and the gangbangers, with or without the police. You know, and I have to applaud some of these folks. They're doing a great job. I'm gonna try to have some of these people on my show to tell us what are they doing great for some of these young people to keep them out of harm's way. This is something we have to do together. And this is something where we have to do besides just talking about it and hoping and wishing it would get better. Nothing is going to get better if we wish it to get better. It's going to get better by doing. And I have to, you know, tilt my hat off to a lot of these community leaders, a lot of parents, mothers, fathers, even some of these extra bright children and teenagers out here. We got some smart, bright people out here, young people. We've got some talented young people out here. We've got some young people who are trying to show other young people the right way to go and to stay away from the bad guys. You know, and if you see someone that you know heading down the wrong path, pull that person to the side and say, hey, wow, that can't be happening. This is what you could be doing better. We need a lot more of these kinds of people. We need some of this incorporated into our police. You know, I mean, we have to do something about this. Like I said yesterday on the show, if some of these high crime areas were rich areas instead of poor areas, instead of poverty, would this kind of carnage, shootings, murders be happening in these communities every weekend? My answer is no. No way. No way. On the west sides and south side of the city, if these communities were filled with billionaires, do you think the killings and the shootings and the drive-bys would be going on in these communities? Hell no. Why is it going on with the poor? It doesn't make sense. And our politicians are sitting on their asses like twiddling their fingers like they don't know what the hell to do. If you don't know what to do or how to do it, get your ass out of office and let somebody take that post that knows what they're doing, that will be proud of what they're doing. Someone who's the superintendent who cares about people in those communities and not just be immune to them because of so much killing, shootings. Got to be something done, folks. And I rail about Chicago. I talk about it, you know, because I live here. I'm a resident. Okay, there's so many people who are packing up and leaving. I would say to those people, stay where you are. If you love the community that you're in, your friends, your neighbors, and family members are there, why pack up and leave because a few thugs are terrorizing the neighborhood? Get out there and take your neighborhood back. Because if you up, I mean, there are some people, if you're poor, where are you going to go? Anyway, where are you going to go? If you're poor, you're going to move into another poor neighborhood. And if you're moving into another poor neighborhood, you move another crime-ridden neighborhood. For some reason, poor neighborhoods, poverty attracts crime. For some reason. Okay? I'm pretty sure there's a lot of experts out there know the reason why. I don't have time to entertain it. But anyway, put. Obviously, a lot of people are, the hell with you, George? I got to go. It would be nice if people would stay put in their own homes, their own apartments, their own neighborhoods, and not let the thugs drive them out. Because if you let the thugs drive you out of your community, out of your neighborhood, they win. Because they're sitting as you packing up and leaving, they're watching you and laughing because they feel that they've won. Do not let the bad guys win. Because I think that's what happens when people up and leave for those kinds of reasons. Up and leave their community that they were born in, they raised their children in, their families there, and you're going to let a few dirtbag thugs run you away. I mean, and then you're going to move right back to another poor neighborhood. That doesn't make sense. Because you're poor, you don't have anything as it is, and then you're going to move to another poor community where the crime may be just as bad. So you're really not accomplishing anything by moving. If you're struggling, if you're down and out, you're really not accomplishing anything by going from one desolated area to another. If that makes sense. You know, if that makes sense. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. You miss a show, you will miss a lot. Apparently, Beth Everett has probably did not put this show on her calendar. A lot of people that I book, you know, they forget, you know. But things like that happen. It happens. We got a whole slew of guests for the month of June. And this is June 1st. So this year is moving right along. But like I said before, folks, there is no budget. No budget for the state of Illinois. And that's really, really bad. And the majority of us residents who live in the state of Illinois, we blame our lawmakers for this. And they know they are blamed. I mean, if you are a state worker, you're calling these guys, or if you are a teacher or a union rep or a union member, you are calling these guys all kinds of names. I've heard people call the lawmakers in the state of Illinois so many rotten, low-down names, and names that they deserve. You know, they deserve it. Oh, they're calling us names. That's because you're not doing your job. You're taking your paycheck and you're not doing your job. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. When you're in that damn office, you've voted on. You are there to serve the people. You're not there to serve yourself. You're not there to serve your own ideology. You are there to serve the people. A lot of politicians forget that. They forget that they beg us for our votes, you know, to get them in office, because they are telling us all the time that what they're going to do for us once we elect them or put them in office. And suddenly they get in office, they, you know, their minds have wilted. They don't know who they are anymore. They don't know who we are anymore. They get bought off and paid for. Their votes are just votes. They're voting the wrong way. They're voting against you. And this is what we have to do in November. I heard some people a balanced budget until after November, because that way the House in Illinois, the House of Representatives, they will have a full slew of Democrats that can override anything that Rauner tries to throw up. They don't need his signature. They will not need his signature on anything. But not passing a budget by last night has really, really thrown Illinois into a flux. It's going to be harder and harder than ever to pass a budget now. You know, so it's totally a mess in Illinois, and some people are just pissed off and leaving. Then some cases, I don't blame people for wanting to leave. But if you're going to leave, leave for the right reasons. Do not leave for all the wrong reasons. I would rather see people stay and fight instead of up and run. But that's just me. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, I will be right back. Stay with
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
Come around. Clap your hands. Come on and dance. I dig the bass.
This is the talk about time. The talk about time.
So, a right-wing insurance executive who wants to repeal Obamacare, a telecom bigwig who opposes the open and free internet, a healthcare lobbyist who wants to privatize Medicare, and a former governor who loves fracking. These are the people the Democratic Party wants to host its convention. What gives? Joining me now is Mike Papantonio, America's lawyer and host of Ring of Fire Radio. Pap, welcome back.
How are you, Tom?
I'm well. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz ends the DNC's ban on lobbyist donations in February, and 3 months later, a bunch of lobbyist types are set to host the DNC, the Democratic Convention. Should we be surprised?
No, not at all, especially with Wasserman, especially with this thing we call the Democratic Party. You know, the Democratic National Convention is going to officially be brought to you. I mean, this is what's happening, officially brought to you by lobbyists, CEOs, and corporate interests. I mean, there's no way you can avoid speaking those words. Let's stop calling this the Democratic Party. At this point, today's Democratic leadership, Tom, they look more like the Republican Party. They share the same philosophy, minus, here's the point, minus a few social issues. If you really drill down and if you're honest with yourself, they look exactly like Republicans, minus a few social issues.
They're like the Republicans minus the bigotry.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, and it won't be long before we move there. You've seen the Democratic Party move little by little towards this thing that is nothing different than a Republican Party. Other than that, there's no difference between modern-day Democrats and Republicans from a decade ago. You know, Tom, here's the problem. Progressives no longer have a place in the Democratic Party. Rendell has made that happen. Harry Reid. Can you imagine Harry Reid coming out and telling Alan Grayson, who has done more for progressives in this country than anybody I can name besides Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and a handful of other people, come out and say to Alan Grayson, I want you to lose. The point is this. The establishment Democratic Party is terrified right now. They're terrified for the same reason the Republicans are terrified. There's a new generation come up, and all of these folks that have been establishment Democrats are at risk just like establishment Republicans are. And so with Harry Reid, Debbie Wasserman, Schultz took that order from Wall Street, for example, when Wall Street said, you got to do something about these people. You have to stop Elizabeth Warren. You need to stop the Alan Grayson types. You need to stop Bernie Sanders. You need to stop anybody who disagrees with Wall Street. Put them out of the picture, and that's what's happened. So Comcast, they're the strongest advocate now involved with the Democratic Party. Comcast, of all people, that are going to be the center stage for the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia. The advocates for TPP, they were advocates for killing net neutrality. They're helping to fund the entire event. And so then we have the executives from the healthcare industry who directly lobbied against the Affordable Health Care Act. Now they're the people that are calling the shots for the Democrats. It is disgusting. If you're a Democrat right now, change your registration. Go call yourself what you are. You probably are closer, if you're progressive, you're closer to an independent. I don't know how else to characterize it. It's getting worse by the day. Ed Rendell, he's the guy that is a huge advocate for the fracking industry. Other than Hillary Clinton bundlers who've raised more than $100,000 for Hillary, the committee is made up of really nothing that you would recognize as an old world Democrat.
Yeah, basically the fat cats. I was astonished. Speaking of Comcast, they own NBC and MSNBC. And, you know, when I do my radio show, I've got a couple of monitors on. The sound is off, but it's CNN and MSNBC and then Free Speech TV that we're on. And I got into the studio this morning around 8:39, and from then until at least 3 o'clock or so thereabouts, you know, when the radio show was over, the entire time Donald Trump was on MSNBC. I mean, it was like Trump is going to a meeting, Trump is at the meeting, yeah. Trump's car is arriving, Trump is leaving, Trump's going to another meeting. Yeah. I mean, it was like 5 straight hours of Trump interrupted by one brief interview with James Clyburn telling Bernie Sanders to get out of the race because he was hurting Hillary Clinton. How does 5 hours of Donald Trump, millions of dollars worth of free publicity, not hurt Hillary Clinton? I don't get it. The whole thing is starting to make my head explode.
Well, but it doesn't just hurt Hillary Clinton. It hurts American politics in general.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, it debases the whole thing.
Yeah, that was Mike Papantoni and Tom Hartman, two of my mentors. Yeah, because I love these guys. I think they're great, and I love their shows and what they do. And I want to move on to talking about more violence in Chicago, because that's what it is, because that's what this show is about. We're trying to make the world a better place one show at a time. And to highlight some of the violence, I think that's what one of the ways to try to combat it, to not turn your back on it, not put your head in the sand, but hit it dead on. And we're doing that on this show. This show is doing that. But we need your help. We need your help. Violence in Chicago is off the hook.
Chicago was always a violent place, you know what I'm saying? As time go on, it just got more and more violent because the attitude, shit, changed to now everybody don't get no fuck. Don't nobody give a fuck, and with ain't no leaders out here, ain't nobody accountable for their actions. You can do what the fuck you want, basically, you know what I'm saying? So without no repercussions, without no leaders telling you sit your ass down or beating your ass for doing something out of order, you know what I'm saying? So niggas just do what the fuck they want to do.
Got you. You ready?
Rolling.
I'm from the South Side. I grew up, born, raised here. I've been shot like 30 times with this gangbanging shit. Everybody knows. Yes, the music here got a little bit to do with all the violence, because you got to remember, this, all these guys that's making music now were gang members first. Before y'all even heard of them or whoever they is or whoever their name may be, they was gangbanging here. And this is how this city designed. You're going to be something, or you ain't going to be nothing.
They took all the gang chiefs away. They took the structure. When they took the structure away, man, we developed a systematic, I call it a systematic uproar, man. It's a systematic uproar, man. It's a systematic downfall, man. They put a glitch in our computer chip when they took all the gang chiefs. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they took the projects. They took the gang chiefs first. Then they took the projects. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, we're going to take their structure. Then we're going to put them out in the ghettos and let them kill themselves so we can go and clean them off the streets. And this shit ain't no movie, though. It's real life. We living this shit, man. It's Taliban, Al-Qaeda shit is going on over here. And we in war with each other, man. It's like, so, we don't give no fuck about nobody else.
They know I be having them on here.
I was calling at a gas station, and what they call lacking on 67 in Cottage Grove. Person ran up on my car, shot all up in the car, hit me 7 times on my stomach, my neck, my jaw, my hand, my back, almost hit like 2 inches away from my spine. Like, it was crazy. I was in the hospital for maybe a month, lost massive weight. I weighed like 90 pounds afterwards, like, had to recover therapy. Like, it was crazy, man. Like, it's hectic out here, for real. Like, when I talk about Chicago, like, it's really like that here. Like, it's living proof.
My name is Valerie Kyles. I'm Chicago, Illinois, outside our building at 5110 South King Drive. I was the mother of a son that was gunned down. I really can't comprehend why they're still happening, but something is missing for the young men. These kids have no hope. They don't care if they die, some of them. But you need to have a hope and teach your sons hope that they can live and be men, productive.
We pulled up on the scene and shit. We think we was going to jump out and shit, and we was going to beat their ass at first, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was going to start fighting, and then somebody would jump. I was going to get to shooting at a motherfucker, you feel me? But shit, before a motherfucker even get out the car, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers, all you just hear is just, you know what I'm saying? You hear it, pop, pop, pop. You know what I'm saying? They shoot the car up, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know what I'm saying? My homie rushed me to the hospital, stopped at the light and shit, tied me up, you feel me, with a sweater, you feel me? And then, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker walked in the hospital and blanked out, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I got popped in the head. Real shit, man. This shit is real out here, man. 15 years old. No flies in, bro. Yeah, this shit is deep, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Chicago, my fuck. That right, everybody scared to come to that. Everybody scared to come to Chicago. And, you know, there's a war zone in Chicago. Right. 10 years, I want to be big house. My family out the hood, ain't got to worry about nothing. Sleep good, and I ain't got to worry about nothing being shot at, none of that.
Growing up in Chicago, it was like good and bad. I had a lot of fun, but it's kind of dangerous having fun. First thing I remember is being arrested when I was a shorty. Like that changed when I became a part of the system and shit. You know what I'm saying? I was locked up. I think like four bags of crack. I was like 13. So once I became a part of the system, it kind of fucked me up because it was like in and out after that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't got the privilege of having a mother in their life or their father in their life. Some people, mama crackhead, you feel me? Daddy might never not been there. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as that inside household situation go bad, that's when you become an adult, aside from what you're doing outside of that.
Idle time is the devil's playground. When you're doing something with your time, then you can survive. But when you're not doing nothing with your time and you just out here with these, just every other thug, then you're going to get a thug lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? If you own bullshit happens. You think about it, you win this bullshit happens, you know what I'm saying? No dare grows, you know? And that's all, you know?
Favorite memories growing up. Just you know what I'm saying, the old days when it used to be cool, like it'd be fun, like you just going kick it, hooping and shit with the guys and shit, like no game banging, none of that. Before motherfucker was on doing smoking weed and all that drinking and shit. Like when it was fun, now it's like, you know, you gotta be in the shit, don't be too fun no more.
Yeah, man.
I'm Hustle Simmons. I'm from the west side of Chicago, went to school in the South Burbs. I'm a branding and marketing, I guess, guy. The Chicago neighborhoods nowadays is just like when you drive through them, you just see kids out there just trying to make it to the next day. You know what I'm saying? And they not even really getting to, they not even getting to enjoy Chicago. They just trying to survive. You know, I'm around the world. I'm working with LeBron, Rick Ross, Diddy, Jay-Z, all these big people. And I get a phone call that my brother got murdered. It just woke me up, and like no matter where you can live in the burbs, you can live in a penthouse downtown. If violence is gonna find you, it's gonna find you. So I really don't see it getting better. But I'm not gonna stop trying. I'm not gonna stop trying to talk to these kids, and I just hope other people in my position, you know what I'm saying, talk to these kids as well. And who knows?
Man, my age in Chicago was like being old. I'm 28 years old. You know what I'm saying? The life expectancy in the hood, you know what I'm saying? And statistically, ain't that long. You know what I'm saying? So 25 might be old. You know what I'm saying? 21 might be old. If the casket's getting shorter and shorter nowadays, you know what I'm saying? What you doing out here in the streets is going to lead to two places. Jail or 115th Fairfield, that's Mount Hope Cemetery, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you just gotta watch what you're doing, you gotta be aware,
You know what I'm saying? And watch what you're doing. And stay aware. Stay alive. You know what I'm saying?
My name is Cecilia Scott. My nephew's name was Donnell Jackson. October the 28th, 2012, he got gunned down on 69th in Houston. They robbed him, they took his diamond earrings, and they took his money. The police said they had a surveillance of his tape and stuff, but it's going on another doggone year. They ain't never found who did that. So I don't understand. He wasn't in no game. He might have shot dice and stuff like that, but he wasn't in no game, and he didn't deserve to die. They need to set a center up and let these kids go play basketball or get on a computer or do something besides violence. Violence is not going to make nobody. They're going to be in jail or they're going to be dead. That's all I got to say, and I want them just to find who killed my nephew.
See, y'all be on LTV. Yeah, y'all come.
They say it's a better way. Yeah, it true indeed it is. But for some of us, that's a picture that we can't even see. What we do every day is a better way for us. Because if heaven's up top, this can't be nothing but hell. Right here. So a lot of these murders that's occurring don't really be intent for the people that's probably hitting killed. You see what I'm saying? It might be meant for somebody else, or they just shooting, just trying to make noise, and whoever they hit, you know? Just randomly doing stuff. It ain't no love in the heart of this city right here, man. You know, it's just open season, man. Open market, you know?
A lot of times they put these guns in these kids' hands that don't even know how to aim, and they shoot the wrong people. Because they see the money, the fast money being made, and they being molded by the wrong people. We need somebody to, you know, go and intervene with that. Violence is, man, I just hope it would stop, you know. I believe if people had availability of service and something to do more so in the community, if it was more something to look forward to, you know, that maybe it would subside.
Right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. So we still have no budget in the state of Illinois. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right. How many representatives are there in the U.S. Congress? How many representatives, House of Representatives, are there in the U.S. Congress? All right, we should have the answer to that question by the end of the day. We're going to move right along. Still, all right, no home for young people in need. A lot of these agencies that help young people in need, homeless people, young people, they're going to be thrown out on the street. The shelters are full. The shelters are running over at the seams. So in some cases, there are agencies that take in homeless people, that's people in need, people who have been victims of domestic violence. All of these programs are closing. Mentally ill. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And that's why I blame everyone in the state legislature. I blame them all. Rauner, Madigan, Cullerton, the House, the Senate. I blame all of these damn people because they're up and they're gone. We don't know if we're going to ever get a budget. They're talking about a stopgap budget until the end of the year. Well, that remains to be seen. Cullerton says that there's going to be some sort of stopgap budget until the end of the year. However, the governor has to go along with that. If he doesn't go along with that, it will not be a stopgap budget, a six-month budget until the end of the year. It's not going to happen. It's just awful, folks. Illinois is just awful. We got some of the worst politicians in the world. I mean, every last one of them. Every last one of them. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Block Talk Radio. We're having a great time here, folks. I hope you're having a wonderful time too. And I want to move right along from this. I'm done with talking about Illinois' problems, you know, until tomorrow, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be more news. There's going to be more fallout. There's going to be more political fallout. There's going to be more name calling, yelling, and screaming, and blaming whoever. But the blame is actually fall dead on the politicians. I think even the crime somewhat in Chicago falls on the politicians because they're not solving it. They're not getting involved in it. I mean, I see Bruce Rauner almost every day. I listen to him almost every day. Not one time since he's been elected, since he's been in office, and that's been about 2 years since he's been in office, has he mentioned anything about the crime in the city of Chicago. He acts as if he's not the governor of the city of Chicago, but somebody has to tell Rauner, hey, Chicago is a part of Illinois, and he's the governor of Illinois, so therefore that makes him also the governor of Chicago. But he doesn't mention the crime numbers. He doesn't, as if it doesn't exist. And these crime numbers are his blame. They put the blame on him too because he's a governor. He should be trying to solve some of this carnage, but he's not. I don't think he gives a damn. Some people are saying, well, maybe he's a racist. He wants black people to just keep killing each other until they kill each other off so that the bulldozers can move in over there in those neighborhoods and and make way for the corporations and the rich. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. The other day, I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago, people were out protesting, as always, for $15 an hour, fast food workers and other workers around the state of Illinois, and actually around America. They were all out protesting, McDonald's workers, other fast food workers were out protesting. You might have seen them or heard about this. They were out everywhere protesting $15 an hour. You know, some of those workers were fired because of their protesting of wanting more money to be paid more. And I haven't heard anything about that since. I guess that can happen, especially when you're not unionized. And a lot of these politicians like Bruce Rauner, they want to bust unions. Why do politicians want to bust unions? Because unions have power. Michael Madigan in the representative in the state legislature, he has power. Rauner wants this power. He can't understand why Democrats have so much power and he doesn't. Every time he gets whipped, he acts as if nothing ever occurred. That's something for a politician, you know what I'm saying? Well, anyway, let's get back to the fast food. A lot of people are protesting or have been protesting and will be protesting a higher wage. But I've been eluding and saying and talking about robots in the workplace just about on every show that I do. And this is real, folks. The fast food industry – are entertaining robots. This is real. This is not a joke. This is not something that is going to happen in the future. It's happening right now as I speak. Matter of fact, it's been here a long time. But a lot of those fast food managers and owners are putting robots in their places of business, because robots do not go out on strike. Robots do not protest. Robots do not ask for raises. Robots can work their asses off and they don't need a break or a lunch. A lot of these folks out here, and there's millions of them around the country, they don't know the implication of losing their jobs. Because this is happening. This is going on. You over there making those French fries, there's going to be a robot, an arm over there making those French fries, putting together those burgers. I mean, this is happening all over. Robots, people, they are here. And employers and corporations, they are not ashamed to do these things. It's their business. They're footing the bill. They can do what they want to get you to get sales. If that means not hiring anybody, they're going to do it. Because some of the banks, the tellers, a lot of the tellers at banks, they're gone. Robots are doing everything, cutting down on manpower, and there's nothing you can do. This is happening. So when I saw this recently, I was saying, wow, let me get on here and tell people about robots again, because a lot of people do not believe it or do not understand or do not think it's going to impact them. If you're working in the food industry, it's going to impact you. If you're working in the banking industry, it's going to impact you. If you're working as a security guard, it's going to impact you. People, we have self-driving cars, aka robots. It's here. It's here. And it's scary. Not only do we have robots in the workplace, we have these terrible, terrible TPP outsourcing of jobs. That's another big one. Donald Trump is one of the big outsourcers of jobs probably in U.S. history. I think he's outsourced 4,000 jobs. He's hired illegal aliens to work on his hotels. So do not think that your job cannot get up and go overseas. What about this company, this corporation, Nabisco? I mean, employees were just bitching their asses off because their jobs were being moved overseas for cheap labor. That's the only reason why a job goes overseas. And I can't believe that Obama has endorsed this, the losing of jobs in America. He's endorsed the TPP. I mean, he worked for it. I don't know what to say about Obama. Obama is another subject, and I'm not comfortable with him anymore. But he's running around America trying to be relevant. He's because Donald Trump is sucking up all the air in the room. A lot of people aren't paying attention to Obama. So he's got to do something or say something or get on television to make us think of him. Because right now it's all Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders. And Obama is not being mentioned that much. So he has to do something to get the cameras on him, you know. He has to do something. And I talked about the other day, President Obama, you know, saying that, you know, ordering people to let gender people, people of a different opposite sex go into your bathroom, something to that effect. I got to look that up a little bit more. Anyway, we can talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's been fun, folks. It's been great. We got about 10 more minutes into the show. And we were talking about the big failure in Springfield, robots in the food industry. And it's coming, folks. It's here. Actually, it's not coming. It's actually here. And we have to do something about it. Okay. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on LinkedIn. Follow me on Facebook. I'm all over the place. People, just follow me. All righty. Here we go. Robots in the workplace. Listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We'll be right back. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George.
Okay.
All right. There's 435 House of Representatives in Congress, the U.S. Congress. 435 House of Representatives in Congress. There's your answer to the smart quiz question earlier. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about 4 minutes into the show, and I want to say again, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for all your kind words. Thank you for your motivational endurance. Thank you for buying and downloading my books on Amazon. I mean, thanks for everything. Thanks for listening to the show, podcasting the show. Keep on podcasting and listening to the show because it's a great show. If it's not for you, this show would not be on the internet. And the internet is all over the world. So I got listeners and callers and people who participate from all over the world. And that's a great thing. That's wonderful. Even though I'm still a needle in a haystack, but that needle in the haystack is going to find its way really soon. So stay with us and support us and all of those great things. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we are here.
Find out if the drugs you are taking are safe at drugsafetynews.com.
Technically, we still don't have a candidate on the Democratic side. What we do have is Hillary Clinton, who believes that she is the presumptive nominee, and all of her supporters are out there telling us that she is the presumptive nominee.
All right. I want to say one thing to a lot of people out here. We've got this November election coming up. We got to get out here and vote. We got to get out here and vote, and we got to vote the right way. We got to vote for the people who are going to represent us. Yes, a lot of asshole politicians out here. There's a lot of people we can't trust. There's a lot of people who are just going to be corrupt. There's a lot of politicians, they're going to lie to us. They're going to try to fool us to get us to. But we have to be vigilant. We have to be smart. We have to vet some of these people before we vote for them. Do not vote for someone who has a nice sounding name. Do not vote for someone because they have a nice looking face. Do not vote for someone because they talk a good game. Vet them. Research. Find out more about this person, because we've got too many crooked ass politicians in office, and during campaigning, these people will smile, kiss your baby, say they're going to do everything for you, you know, use all kind of highfalutin words to try to, you know, trick you into voting for them, putting their asses in office, and they do not deserve to be there. So when you go out and vote, make sure you're voting for the person. Okay, someone just said 90 seconds. All right. When you go out and vote, make sure you're voting for the person that you want to vote for. Do not be tricked into voting for someone, and then this person gets into office and they wreck your life. We have too many politicians like that, and that has to stop. We have to get out there and do our diligence, because these people that we vote for, they are there to represent us. They are one vote. They are our vote. That's about all they're there for. They're not there to vote against us. They're not there to talk against us. They're not there to lie. They're there to vote for us. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We've got to do something about that. We've got to get people out there to vote, and to vote the right way, because voting the wrong way is bad. All right. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope you join me tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's the thing. We can't talk enough about violence because it's in this city.